One afternoon in the video store, the clock rang out for lunch. The owner, Dave, craved Taco Bell and a cheesy gordita crunch. Meanwhile, load of the waste of Morton Hoof sat alone in his room. And Morton Hoof had Bell to sell, but he craved the power of cartoons. Dave and Hoof agreed to sell Bell's for tunes and tunes for Bell.
Scooby-Doo is back on Cartoon Network. You can hear the teeth chattering already, can't you?
Hey, Scooby!
Scooby, Scooby-Doo, looking for you. Scooby, Scooby-Doo, where are you?
Over there!
All the stars are here, waiting for you. Couldn't have a show without you.
Well, here we are, once again, another Saturday morning apocalypse with my favorite cartoon, Scooby-Doo. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by Scooby-Doo diehard fan, Nick Morton Hoof.
Apparently the only fan here.
All right, so just to give everybody a peek behind the curtain, see how the pudding's made. When we do Saturday morning apocalypse, as you all know, when we do Saturday Morning Apocalypse, we do two episodes. A Saturday Morning Apocalypse, like, it'll be, like, I am really over-explaining this and botching this really bad.
We just do a pair of episodes from the cartoon.
We do a pair of episodes from a cartoon. Thanks, Nick. And we usually record.
I know you're just so distracted by your hatred right now. So
I want to get out of here so bad so I cannot talk about this Scooby-Doo episode. But it's just like usually we record them back to back. Last week when we did the first one, you had a prior engagement and you had to bounce, which means
I had to get back to the Bullet Town.
Yeah, you had some prior engagements. A guy was stiffing you on a sale. It's like you had to go take care of it. So
I had to go solve a mystery.
You had to go solve a mystery. Yeah, the mystery behind the lost arm shipment.
There was a pirate covered in flour terrorizing Bartertown.
It was a big thing. So Morton Hoof had to go take care of that. So we didn't get to record the second episode. So now here we are a week later, and just a disclaimer, folks, I did not rewatch this, the second episode that we're about to talk about for this recording. I watched it a week ago. I did have the thought, should I rewatch it to kind of refamiliarize myself with this? But I'm like, hell no, I am not watching this episode for a second time.
Dave, if the episode was 20 minutes, would you think about it?
If it were 20 minutes, I would have considered it longer and still not done it, but I would have considered it longer.
Sure. That's the thing about this episode that we're about to talk about is it's, I think if I remember correctly, it's like 40 minutes or something like that. It's just way too long.
It's a double episode. And I'm
well, it's a movie, right? I guess that's technically.
Yeah, and we should talk about that. So the last episode we watched of Scooby-Doo was the very first episode of Scooby-Doo ever. This takes place a few years later in the run of Scooby-Doo. And this is not a TV show per se. It's considered the new Scooby-Doo movies. A season of that. And that actually caused some trouble because when we were thinking of what episodes of Scooby-Doo to watch, the first one, I was like, well, I guess we should watch the very first one ever, right? What should we watch for the second? Well, what's synonymous with Scooby-Doo? Well, for some reason, the Harlem Globetrotters seem to be synonymous with Scooby-Doo. So it's like, all right, let's do the first appearance of the Globetrotters. It was It proved to be a little difficult to track down where that episode was, because like a lot of cartoons of this era, and frankly just cartoons in general, oftentimes they will get split up and renamed into different titled shows.
Especially a series like this, you know, where
especially a series like this, yeah,
it has so many different incarnations. I mean, there's one incarnation of Scooby-Doo that I actually remember watching more than any of the other ones, and it was from the 90s, and the gang were younger actually, and the art style was a lot more. I would just say bright, I guess that's how I remember it. And that one was more. I don't know. I remember liking that one a lot, actually. But yeah, there's so many different incarnations of Scooby-Doo. And I'm wondering, as you're talking about the Globetrotters, like, is Scooby-Doo single-handedly responsible for keeping the Globetrotters alive in our consciousness?
I couldn't tell you. I was going to ask you if you knew anything about the Globetrotters, because I think I only really know of them through Scooby-Doo.
Are they even still around? I mean, well, if...
Who knows?
I mean,
in the wasteland.
Are they? Yeah, in the wasteland. I mean,
well, I mean, I know what the Globetrotters are. It's like this thing. I don't know if they're a traveling thing or not, or if they're a set thing in Harlem, or I don't know. I really don't know much about the Globetrotters, but I do know that they are. It's basically like a show that you watch. It's not a real basketball game. It's a basketball game, and the Globetrotters face another team, and they do. And the Globetrotters will do a bunch of crazy shit. Basically just cheat in insane cartoon ways to defeat the team. That's what I know of the Globetrotters. And we get to see them globetrotting around doing their Globetrotters thing in this episode. But that is a good point. Like, did this raise awareness of the Globetrotters? Like, because from what I understand, what they do throughout this episode is basically the kind of stuff that they do in real life in their games.
Back in the 90s, I feel like the Globetrotters were a lot bigger. And I feel like I never watched or saw the Globetrotters in person, or even like, I don't know if they ever televised it even, but I always remember seeing like commercials and stuff like that. And it always looked fun, you know, as like a basket ole or something like that. And it looked fun, but it was like, it does feel very 90s. And now that I'm like in retrospect. And so, but I guess now that we're talking, I don't even remember when the new, like, when this Globetrotters episode came out. Do you remember?
So Scooby-Doo began in 1969. This picks up, again, this is under the banner of the new Scooby-Doo movies in 1972. So it's a few years later. And then this is getting back to what I mentioned about this. It was a little hard to track this down. Because when we went online, I told Chad, like, hey, Chad, you know, what's the season and episode number of the first appearance of the Globetrotters? And he goes, you know, season one, episode 12, you know, in Chad's voice. And I just assumed season one would be the very first season of Scooby-Doo. But it's actually season one specifically of the new Scooby-Doo movies. So there's a lot of back and forth. I remember, like, when I sent you through teletype, you know, like, hey, Hoof over in Citadel, like, this is the episode we're going to watch, season one, episode 12. You're like, are you sure this is the Globetrotters episode?
Yeah, we had to do some digging to locate this episode because it was...
under a different banner, basically.
Yeah, so it was kind of a mystery to find it. But I mean,
we had to walk through a haunted forest. Where are the Globetrotters?
We had to unmask different streaming services. Oh, you're not the Globetrotters.
But, you know, it's a coincidence that we had, you know, it's funny that we had to walk through a haunted forest to find this episode, because wouldn't you know it, sure enough, this episode begins, the gang are driving around through another haunted forest. They just don't learn.
Well, guys, after checking our compass in the map, I've come to the conclusion...
What's that, Velma?
We are hopelessly lost. Shaggy, you and Scooby look for a road sign.
Like, you gotta be kidding, Daphne. In this fog, we can hardly see the road.
What?
You know, okay, so it's funny you bring that up now, because I think in the last episode, it sounded like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you kind of found the formula of Scooby-Doo very tiresome.
From the get-go. Yeah.
But what I was thinking was actually that, you know, I don't know if this might upset Scooby-Doo fans, actually, but I think that the template and the audience of Scooby-Doo, this show is actually kind of closer to Blue's Clues in some ways. And I think, like, it's for a little older audience, but at the heart of it, I feel like it's kind of the same thing in some senses. It's like, so it's almost like there's two sides of criticizing this show. And the one side is like, yeah, it's super basic. Of course, they never learn. You know, they're always on this haunted forest, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, it's like, are you going to, like, be upset with Blue's Clues because they're, like, always trying to solve a mystery or whatever they're doing in the clue, find the clues or something like that? It's like, you have to accept at some, like, level the basic formula of the show.
Well, you know what I don't have to accept, Nick? A double the runtime of that basic formula.
Can you concede
that this formula should stay within a 20-minute time frame?
That's why I brought up from the very beginning, because I also very much agree that this is too long for something like this. Like you, same thing. Like you would never, you could. I don't think it's humanly possible to sustain a 40-minute episode of Blue's Clues, and so I think it would be the same thing here. You can't do this kind of show for like 40 minutes. You know.
Well, it's like yeah, because I was thinking there was a point when I stopped the disc or whatever. I'm like, how much time is left? Oh my God, we're only halfway through. This felt like watching a full-length movie.
There's another thing about this this movie episode thing, whatever it is, that there's a big chunk that is so un-Scooby-Doo. Like, I really didn't care about the Globetrotters playing basketball with the kids. That was
so they would stop being afraid. Let's just play some ball. Ugh.
You see, we were all just hearing scary noises.
They're almost right, but I know how to get rid of all those scary noises. That's easy to take care of. All we have to do is drown out the scary noises with fun noises. Say, with a basketball game.
Basketball? At a time like this?
This or any time?
Us against you Globetrotters? Oh, no way.
How about if we play you to 10 and spot you 8 points?
Far out. It's a deal.
That just went. That just felt like an ad for the Globetrotters.
Right. And I kind of like, I get what the, I if you like the Globetrotters, I'm sure this would be fun. But I just think like it's just such a waste of time almost. I'm here for the mysteries. I want to see the costumes, like the monsters, whatever they are. And there is something like that in this movie, but there's a whole, I feel like, if I remember correctly, like when they play the game, are they playing it to not be scared or what? I don't even know why they're playing it. Like they're just goofing around. It's just like them doing anything.
In my notes, I literally just say, in my notes, it's like, oh, we'll play basketball. And then I say, what the fuck is the point of this? Why are they there?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, I don't have a problem with the Globetrotters crossing over with Scooby-Doo. You know, that's cool. They could team up to solve a mystery. I don't need to see them play basketball.
They're basically just running.
They're playing in like a house. It's so funny. Yeah. It's really fun. Like that part, that's the kind of stuff in Scooby-Doo that I actually get a kick out of is like where they're like kind of like creating a nonsensical world. Like they're playing, like when in the first episode that we watched, when they're flying or driving the plane through the museum, you know, that's like, it's absolute nonsense and it's hijinks and it's funny. Yeah. But, and so like there is a funny thing to me about them playing this full ass basketball game.
But we don't have any hoops. No problem. They just set up like a trash can or something on top of a shelf or something.
Yeah, I just feel like it's such a. I feel like that when like everything that happens in that basketball game, which I think is the main reason I don't like this episode. I just feel like it was so wasteful. Like it was just nonsense.
Well,
in a bad way.
They're not even really trying to solve a mystery. Well, I don't. Maybe that's kind of every episode. It doesn't open with them trying already to solve a mystery. Like something happens, and they're like, "Oh, this is weird. Let's investigate." So this one opens, and again, disclaimer: I did not rewatch this. It's been a full week. My mind has probably done everything in its power to try to help me forget this episode. So I just want to put that out there. So I may miss some facts. So Nick, I might rely on you to fill in some of the gaps. But from memory serves, it opens with, you know, you guessed it, they're in a haunted forest, they're driving around, they're lost, and there's this spooky, there's these spooky lights following them. They don't know what they are. Could it just be another vehicle? No, it's probably some sort of swamp monster.
What is it, Scoob? Yikes, it's a swamp monster!
Will you two get hold of each other?
We are! It's a scene. Let's take another look out the back. Okay, but I may be sorry. Yep, I'm sorry. The swamp monster's after us.
Fred, my woman's intuition tells me that something is after us.
My side mirror tells me the same thing. Hang on, gang. We're moving out.
But it turns out...
Yeah, there's a lot of... I like the beginning of this episode is something that I am on board with because it is normal Scooby-Doo to me. It's
just driving around.
Yeah, driving around, being scared in a spooky forest, creepy lights, and
we were going to get into the plot, but I need to address something right off the bat. If you recall in our previous Scooby-Doo episode, you remember that I took big issue with the laugh track, and it's back again, and it's even worse here. Like, there, I swear to God, there are lines where the audience is laughing, there are lines when they insert the laugh track on things that are, I swear to God, these are not jokes. There's a line where Fred's just basically saying, like, oh, the road's too dark, I can't see a thing. I'm just like, that's not a joke.
What? Here's a fan theory. What if the intent of the laugh track is actually to create this, like, sadistic, like, hermetically sealed a cabin in the woods situation. I think I mentioned what if the audience is actually like the people like getting a kick out of these kids being scared and tortured?
So we were wrong in our last episode. It is a cabin in the woods situation, but it's not a thing where, well, I guess it would be more like the Truman Show. We're just watching these people go through these scenarios, getting scared and everything, and we're just laughing at them.
Yeah, why do you think they're always in the forest? Because they can't. That's where they live.
They can't escape. Haunted forest in the dome.
It is. I think you're right. It is like Truman Show. It's like the kids are like trapped in this spooky forest world.
All they know, Nick. All they know is being scared and driving through haunted forests and monsters. And Scooby Snacks.
this gang and a dog were all captured and put in this this container.
They got high one day. They went to the movies. They had one too many joints. They went home, like, and they got lost in a haunted forest, and they got nabbed, and they got deposited into this giant Truman Show-esque dome that's just nothing but haunted forest and crazy scenarios. I think we saw
that. Yeah, I'll go one step further and make up this whole backstory. Like, one day, Scooby and Shaggy... They were all in the mystery van, right? Because they grew up, you know, loving mysteries, you know, the Hardy Boys and stuff like that. And so they love that shit. So they put, you know, they made a mystery van, and they all like they got a big ass bong and they lit up in they hotboxed the van, and when they hotboxed the van, you know, they're all, you know, they're in there, you know, stoned out of their minds. And in that moment, that's when the world around them changes. Like, whatever forces that be, the laugh track audience, they plotted and they transported the gang, unbeknownst to them, into this creepy world.
I would buy it. That actually explains everything that happens in Scooby-Doo, why it is the way it is, why the audience is laughing. And that's another thing. The audience is hotboxing, too. That's why they're laughing at everything, even though it's not a joke most of the time. I can't see where I'm driving.
Every time you are hating the laugh track, I can't help but like come up with this messed up justification. Like, this is the show that you have on at 3 a.m. in the morning when you are zombie mode, just staring at the TV. Like, it's basically like the equivalent of like static that you're just watching. And
there's a line of drool going down your mouth.
Yeah, like the white noise of the static is the equivalent of the laugh track. It's just incessant.
Well, I felt like I was going mad watching this 40-minute episode of Scooby-Doo, so that's appropriate. But
I love this idea that the Scooby-Doo laugh track is like this sadistic psychosis technique or something like that. I'm just gonna believe that for the rest of my life.
Let's discuss the plot of this episode. So as I said, they're driving around yet again through a haunted forest. They seem to be pursued by what they... I don't know why they think these two, what look like headlights, are some sort of monster that's following them. They just assume everything's a monster at this point, which I guess in their world makes sense. but no, it turns out the camera goes back. We fly back. And we discover that those two lights that have been trailing them this whole time on this road in this haunted forest is actually the tour bus of the Harlem Globetrotters. They're on their way to their next game.
Hey, Metalor! This place sure doesn't look anything like Miami Beach.
You're right, Webb. Thanks to old Columbus Metalark's fantastic navigation.
Yeah, his shortcut turned out to be the longest cut in history.
Cool it, Groot. I'll lead us out of here.
How?
Simple, Geese. All Curly has to do is follow that car ahead of us.
Good idea, unless they lost too.
Now, why should anybody be dumb enough to get themselves lost in a place like this?
And in the course of driving, they end up both crashing their vans into like a swamp or something. And of course, it being Scooby-Doo, it's like, all right, well, we'll just walk through the haunted forest now until we happen upon something scary and weird. That's basically what happens. They see what they think is, oh no, well, they see, and we get more gaslighting here. We see a haunted pirate ship floating around through the swamp that seems to come and go. And of course, everyone gaslights Scooby and Shaggy. They're like, you didn't see shit. You know what I mean? They're just willfully ignoring everything, even though this happens to them every day. But they're like, you didn't see anything. Shut up.
Stop! Go back or we're all sunk!
Easy, fella. Who or what's gonna sink us?
That ghost pirate ship we saw. That's who and what?
Nonsense. And for two very good reasons.
Tell him, Metalark, please!
Number one, there's no such thing as ghosts. Number two, pirate ships are a thing of the past.
Metalark's right. And even though I saw the ghost pirate ship, I still don't believe it.
Naturally, Curly. That's cause there's nothing out there, see?
And from here on, there's a point before the swamp house where they play basketball, and then there's after. Everything before is basically just them. I'm just like shortening this down here because there's not much plot here. They basically run around. They see the pirate ship. They get scared. They run. At one point, they get somehow stuck inside of a log, and they end up flying down the road. And somehow, the rest of the gang mistakes this log with Shaggy and Scooby clearly sticking out of it on both ends as some sort of swamp monster. Even though, again, it's clearly a log. If they don't even bother to do anything to, like, make it look like shrouded in darkness so that it's sort of like, oh, what is that? I can't tell what that is. No, it's fully lit and it's clearly a log with Scooby and Shaggy sticking out of both ends. So you get a lot of crap like that. Like, honestly, it's amazing how much playtime this log gets that they think is a swamp monster. Like, it seriously covers what feels like 10 whole minutes of just this log. I'm like,
it's a full ass arc.
It's like the log has more of an arc than anybody else in the show. Eventually, the log, or aka the swamp monster, is defeated, I guess, by them simply crawling out, and then everyone realizes, oh, it was a log. What's that over
and
there?
And this includes the Globetrotters running from
the
them, right?
The Globetrotters, they're there too. They confuse this log with a swamp monster somehow. Again, I'm just watching this like, holding my head in frustration, like, oh, what? I can't.
Well, it's like, I think it's so funny because while you're obsessing over the log, I'm just cackling about the fact that there's this big ass pirate ship in a swamp, like
going around.
Because it's like, I mean, where could this in the world could this be? And how does it make sense? Like, this episode, like, is just total nonsense. Like, I don't even understand.
There's a perfectly good explanation for how it can disappear. As we see later in the episode, the people behind the pirates, the evil pirates, have a giant curtain, a camouflage curtain in the swamp that they hide the ship behind, and then it, quote unquote, disappears behind the giant curtain.
So this is embarrassing, but I don't even remember, like, what is the crime that they're doing?
They're stealing oil from the swamp. These are, like, basically crooked oil men or something. They found some oil in the swamp, and this is the part that's confusing. So clearly the pirate ship, which I guess is also doubling as if I'm not mistaken, like some sort of way for them to get the oil out, is able to just, you know, go around in the swamp. I don't know why they're going around. I guess it's to scare people off, but it's like, why would you scare them off with the thing that you're using to plunder the oil? Like, it seems like you'd want to keep that under wraps and then just stick to the ghost pirate stuff.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, the ghost pirates in this, we haven't mentioned this, the name of this episode is called The Ghostly Creep from the Deep, which I will give them credit. I think the episode names are clever. They're fun. Everything inside the episode is total trash, but one thing I thought was funny about these pirates as we see them. So, spoiler, we find out again, they're just guys that are trying to get oil from this swamp here. But the pirates themselves, the costumes they use to scare people, they look like those picture books you would buy where it's, you know, you color it in and it's just white. You know what I mean? They look like uncolored picture book things.
Yeah, it does. Exactly. It's just stark white, and to me, it looks like they're covered in flour. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, for a brief second, I thought, did they forget to color in the pirates here?
That would be funny.
It almost looks like a mistake, like an unfinished, like, animation cell or something.
Yeah, you're right. That would be funny if they, some reason, went, like, psychedelic and, like, the monsters are uncolored or something like that, or the monsters are, like, stealing color from the world or something like that.
I don't even necessarily mean that they needed color. I just mean that the way that we see them, like, or there's no, when I look at them, I don't think ghost. I just think, oh, that's like a cartoon that nobody colored in. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. So it's funny you say that, because I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, these guys don't, like, they don't feel like ghosts. No. Like, they're not,
there's no ghostly type of shimmer around them. They don't act in a way like, ooh.
The only reason that in the first episode, I think the show did a better job of, like, explaining why this is scary, or supposed to be scary, you know, like, it to me, it makes sense, at least on paper. But in this episode, the reason it feels like it's supposed to be scary is just because there's the old guy, creepy guy, Ralph, or whatever his name is, that is, like, talking about the pirates or something.
Well, Swampy,
right?
Pete.
Yeah, Swampy Pete.
No luck. We might as well give up.
Yes, whoever it was that warned us away must have split.
Let's go check in the inn.
Sure. Who's gonna stop us?
Redbeard, the pirate's ghost, will stop you. Go away. Now.
Hey, man. Are you trying to scare us?
Yes. And for your own good.
Look, pal. No ghost pirate story is gonna scare us away.
It's not just a story. In fact, it sounds like you may meet him soon.
Which, great name. He definitely looks like a Swampy Pete. He kind of looks like the crypt, like not the Crypt Keeper, but the Tales from the Crypt, like those EC comics, like that crypt guy, like the creeper. I forget.
He's just like the Crazy Ralph character, right?
He's essentially a Crazy Ralph character from Friday the 13th, yeah. You gotta stay away. This place is haunted.
And then he ends up being an FBI agent or something, right?
Well, spoiler, yeah. And that's the fun. That's the best moment of the episode. We find out that these supposed ghost pirates are actually just oil guys trying to plunder oil from the swamp. And it turns out Swampy Pete is actually Lieutenant Pete Duggan. I'm like, best episode of the episode. Also, it's interesting to me. I was kind of thinking, like, why the disguise? Like, are the pirates, aka oil men, even aware of Swampy Pete? Like, do they? Because it almost seemed like they were almost acting in tandem for a while.
Yeah, it did.
So the majority of this episode. So as I mentioned, there's the whole odyssey with the swamp monster, aka the log, that lasts for a surprising amount of time. But the bulk of the episode is spent inside this. Did they say it's like a hotel or basically just a giant house?
I thought it was just like a random house that they discovered.
They discover this house. They go in there, I guess, to, again, I apologize. I refused to watch this episode a second time. I would not do it just for my mental health. But if I recall, they just go in there to get away from the swamp monster to be safe. And in this, and this is where we...
You know, they do. It's pretty common in like pop culture that people say, you know, the Scooby-Doo episodes really hit the second time, Dave. So you really should have given another shot.
Deprived myself of the revelation. But no, most of the episode takes place in this house when I guess they're just trying to get away from the scary ghosts or just, you know, it's
just play basketball.
Yeah, they decide like, oh, we're all scared. Well, how about, I got an idea, guys. Let's play basketball. And it kind of reminded me of, I don't know if you've seen this episode, but it reminded me of an episode of The Simpsons where Bart discovers a conspiracy by the Major League Baseball Association. And the end of the episode ends with Mark McGwire, who, if you all recall at the time, was like a home run king. He was, you know, it was him and Sammy Sosa battling for home run dominance. But it has Mark McGwire say,
"Do you want to know the terrifying truth? Or do you want to see me sock a few dingers?
Dingers!
And that's the same vibe I get with this episode in the Globetrotters. It's like, should we maybe just leave and then go back to the van or get some help? Or let's play some basketball, guys.
That's so funny. That I wish they would have. Like, they should have said. Oh man, if they would have said that, I think I would have been on board.
They just, yeah, they're scared, and to get their minds off things, it's like, well, let's play basketball because that's all we know how to do, basically.
That is actually, you know what? I'm on board with the original Scooby-Doo series. I like it. I get a kick out of it. And I'm really on board with the philosophy of Scooby-Doo, as I mentioned. Oh, but yeah, this one, it just doesn't have.
It's all filler. There's a lot of filler in this.
It's a lot of filler, and I think there's a lot to be gained if they had some like self-awareness or self-referential things going on. But instead, it's all very straight. You know, like the log stuff. Like there's clearly an opportunity there to make a joke about like, why are we running from this or something like that.
Yeah.
But there's no self-awareness. There's no like self-referential. Like we get what we're doing here. And I think it's all. It just turns to like. It's almost taking itself too seriously, even yeah, though there's there a laugh track.
Moments, yeah, I think I mentioned in the last episode, there's some moments where I almost wish that they would have broke the fourth wall a little bit and acknowledged how silly the situation was and, oh, weren't we stupid to think that or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's a component that's definitely missing in this incarnation of Scooby-Doo. Well, we only watched the one, but that's enough said.
I mean, I think the whole bit with the house could be jettisoned from this episode, and it could have been a fine 20-minute episode of Scooby-Doo with the Globetrotters. Like, in my mind, it's because it seems like I can only think the purpose of the basketball scene in the house is to maybe, again, like, make the kids not be scared and I guess it's to get their confidence up because right after they play basketball, you know, because Scooby-Doo also has some shenanigans of his own. You know, the Globetrotters initially, I think, if I remember correctly, are doing their Globetrotter thing and like basically cheating and getting points. But then Scooby-Doo basically does the exact same thing. Scooby-Doo is like, oh, wait a minute. This is a cartoon. I could do crazy stuff too. You know, and they start winning.
Huh? Just a little practice.
Go ahead, Scoob. Try to sink a basket. Like, try to get past my defense.
Okay.
Unfair! What kind of basketball are you playing?
Football.
And I can only assume this is here to boost their confidence, because after this, the pirates start to come in for no reason. It's like, I guess there's people in that house. Let's go scare them or potentially kill them. Who knows? They're too close to this operation that we got going on with the oil. Again, we find that out later. But like, it's for some reason, after they play basketball, their confidence seems to be boosted to the point where everyone's suddenly like, let's fight the pirates. You know what I mean? Like, it switches. They're suddenly not running away from the pirates. It's like, let's fight the pirates. And it's just like, I'm like, okay. Like, it just, I don't know. This whole thing with the house could have been cut, and it could have just been them. They have the log hijinks. They see the ghost pirate ship. And the Globetrotters could have just done Globetrottery stuff then, once they happen upon the oil thing. Like, it could have been a nice 20-minute episode. This whole bit at the house is just so needless.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. I totally agree. I think that the house is... I think I felt the same way as you when we were watching it. You know, it's like, oh my God, how long is this going to go?
Well, and they also do some funny things with... I think maybe I'm wrong, but I think one of the reasons they go into the house is they seem to posit that ghosts can only come out at night. For some reason, do you remember this? Someone says something about, oh, the ghost can only come out at night. It's like, how do you know that? Well, actually, you know what? I take that back. You know, they're in the mystery machine. They know a thing or two about ghosts, I guess.
Yeah, they know the rule. They have the rule book in the car.
But it's like,
I've
never heard of that. That's never been a thing. Ghosts can only come out at night.
Oh, Dave. Everybody knows that. I just think, like, the more we talk about this episode, it's like there are so many things I'm thinking of that would just make this episode just better. Like, it's just like even the log thing. Like, I feel like there could have been an opportunity to have the gang like create momentum with. That's the other thing about this episode is, like, to me, there's no momentum. There's no, like you said, like they kind of just all of a sudden switch and like, oh, we're going to fight the ghost. You know, it's just like, there's nothing that connects anything together.
Now we got confidence.
Yeah. It's like a log house fighting.
What? And I get it. If you're going to have the Globetrotters in a cartoon crossover, you're going to want to see them do Globetrottery things, but it's like,
I wish that they would have done a different episode where the Globetrotters are like in a basketball stadium and the stadium is haunted.
Yes.
And the gang helps them, because then I feel like you could have like done so much more with the Globetrotters. I guess there's this argument for hijinks in a house and that's silly and stuff like that. But the way it ends up is just so tedious.
Well, and they don't even really investigate the house, if I recall correctly. They just stay inside the main room on the first floor.
Yeah, I think I remember that too. It's like there's no like I don't know, maybe the Swampy Pete does something. I think he pops in and out.
Well,
a couple times.
We see Swampy Pete like doing stuff. He comes in and out of like the upper floor or whatever. That's how he gets in and out of the house. But if I recall, I don't think the gang like investigates this house. They just stay in the first floor. And like I was thinking back to the first episode, like they go to a lot of places in that museum. You know what I mean? They go into different rooms and stuff. They explore the place. They just go inside this one house and it's just or stay in this one room of this house. It's like, this is boring, guys.
Well, I think that's another thing that stood out to me is like, this isn't really feeling like them solving a mystery almost.
Yeah,
like they're not doing anything. They're just playing basketball.
There's no mystery component until the end, and when we see it, it's instantly resolved. They do Globetrottery stuff, and they incapacitate the pirates, and that's when Swampy Pete has this great reveal. I'm actually Lieutenant Pete Duggan. It's like, you guys want to go see the Globetrotters play? Yay! I mean, I'll take you to the game free of charge. Oh my God. And then the explanation, I love, this is like probably going to be I'm not going to watch any more Scooby-Doo, but I will say that my favorite part of Scooby-Doo, and this is, again, this is the bit of Scooby-Doo I had received from pop culture osmosis, is the final reveal where it's like, oh, it was just this guy all along. Or in this case, how do you explain the weird pirate glow thing? It's like, oh, no worry, kids. It was just glow paint you can get at any local hardware store.
What about those so-called spirits?
Ch-
just a trick. They came from this spirit projector.
Great, but listen, what's coming now?
It's a police helicopter I've had circling until I could find Redbeard's hideout.
Something tells me you're not really a swamp rat, Swampy Pete.
Something tells me you're right, Velma.
I'm Lieutenant Pete Duggan of the Harbor Patrol.
And Redbeard wasn't a ghost either?
No, he's a crooked oil man who used the Redbeard legend to keep people away while he tapped those offshore oil wells, loaded up his oil barge, and piped it into those tanker trucks.
Sort of an oil bootlegging operation, huh?
Right, but he's out of business now, thanks to you all.
But they glowed like ghosts.
Another trick, glow paint. You can buy it at any joke store.
Which is also funny because I did not realize that they were supposed to be glowing.
Neither did I. I was just like, they were glowing? Again, they just look like uncolored cartoons. They could have easily drawn
like these like luminescent like little beam things coming out of their like around them, like a halo or something like that. But this episode, like, I think I mentioned the last episode that there is kind of like a laziness about this, but this episode is just, oh God, what was the writing room like when they wrote this episode? or was there, maybe there was just a guy drinking at a bar and he wrote this episode or something like that.
Look, I know that you can't really improvise with cartoons. Cartoons, you know, it's like you got to come up with a story and then you animate to that story. But this does somehow have the vibe of just winging it. Like there was no story. Like somehow they were animating it. They didn't know what the story was. So they're like, we'll just come up with this stuff as we go.
This episode, I would wager, was written on the back of a napkin.
Yes. I think you nailed it, Nick. I think the way to fix this would be to set it in, like, if you're going to have them cross over with the Globetrotters, have them be, like, in an arena or something, and there's some haunted weirdness going on with the arena. You know what I mean? Maybe, like, we find out that it has, you know, the plot is something to do with the arena owner. Like, oh, I've been wanting to sell off the arena because the team attendance has been down. So I've been trying to make it seem like the place is haunted to scare people away. Therefore, attendance drops and we could sell the team or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they stand to make a big profit by selling the team.
Yes.
Phantom of the Court.
Yes. Oh my God. But anyway, so it's just nothing. It's like, we'll have the Globetrotters come in. What's the episode going to be about? It'll be set in a swamp with some ghost pirates that just look like watercolors that you need to paint in but haven't yet.
So what I'm getting, since you're kind of on board with this new episode, is like you're down to start writing some like Scooby-Doo fan fiction with me, right?
Well, if I'm just basing it off of this episode in particular, which is nothing, there's so little you could do that could improve this story-wise immensely. You know what I mean? We just came with that off the cuff, and that just makes more sense with considering that it's starring the Globetrotters. It's so weird to see the Globetrotters do Globetrotter stuff inside of a house on a swamp with ghost pirates. I'm just like, this is like Mad Libs. It's just like they just took someone was throwing out ideas, unrelated ideas. They're like, I guess we could put that in an episode.
I don't remember if we talked about this too much, but are you like familiar with a lot of like Hanna-Barbera cartoons?
That's the thing. I know of a lot of them, but I don't think I really watched. I maybe caught a Johnny Quest episode once or twice.
Ooh, Johnny Quest might be an episode or a show we could do.
That's definitely one we should earmark for a future Saturday Morning Apocalypse, because at least with that show, I get the sense that there is a story going on in each episode that seems appreciated as opposed to Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I remember like it's so like I think a lot of these Hanna-Barbera cartoons, represent such a kind of like a sugary cotton candy experience sort of thing. And, you know, you have like, I remember as we're talking about this, I'm kind of thinking back to like Yogi Bear too. And it's like
I have no idea what your typical Yogi Bear episode would look like, what it would entail. Like, I don't know anything of the world of Yogi Bear.
So it's been a long, long time since I've watched a lot of these shows, because I did used to watch a lot of Cartoon Network when I was a kid. And this would pop up a lot. And I as I'm thinking about it, and my memory could be wrong, but I just think that this is kind of a template of a lot of these types of shows. Yeah, exactly. Like, just kind of like, you know, it's almost, I don't know if this will make sense to you, but have you ever seen or like, do you remember like old comic book ads for other things like goofy glass, like X-ray glasses? Oh, sure. X-ray glasses, or, and then also another thing that would pop up as advertisements in old comic books were like cartoons. And I think, like, as my memory of those images, like those advertisements in the cartoons, or excuse me, the comics, that is what these shows feel like, almost. Like, it's very paper thin.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, I didn't have too many other notes on this episode, other than I did have some notes at the end when we see the Globetrotters play in their natural environment in a basketball arena. Some of the stuff they do, and I realize this is amped up. So Globetrotters do crazy stuff like in real life, but obviously this is a cartoon, so it's going to be even more ramped up and crazy. There's a part where they're playing against the other team where at one point one of the Globetrotters acts as if he's going to, like, kill a goldfish or something, and he basically forces the other player to drop the ball and be like, and to save the goldfish, like, you're crazy, Globetrotters. And that's when the guy steals the ball and makes a basket. It's just like, the Globetrotters are crooked, man. They're filthy cheats, and they need to be stopped.
Frankly. You're saying the Scooby Gang should have stopped the Globetrotters.
The Globetrotters are the ones that should have been stopped. Yes. I mean, I will say, to give credit to the Globetrotters, there was one bit that they did that made me laugh. When, again, this is what you could do in a cartoon, where there's like a moment when the team, I think if I remember correctly, the other team makes a basket, and like they have, the Globetrotters have set up an elaborate tube system.
A
pipe system where the ball goes in, and then it goes through this tube system and then deposits the ball into the Globetrotters basket or something.
Yeah, the other team makes a basket, and that means they make a basket.
Exactly. That made me laugh. I thought that was a funny thing you could do in a cartoon. And there's that. So I will say, to be fair to this episode, Ghostly Creep from the Deep, there were a handful of moments that made me chuckle in spite of the episode. Namely, the Swampy Pete being revealed as Lieutenant Pete Duggan, Environmental Protection Agency. Or is that what he was?
I'm Lieutenant Pete Duggan of the Harbor Patrol.
Oh, no, he was Harbor Patrol. Somehow the fact that he was Harbor Patrol made me laugh even harder. There was that. There was the pipes. There's also, and this is, I'd imagine, again, we're a few years into Scooby-Doo's run. He is now doing 40-minute-long movies. We forgot to mention this, too. He has a new theme song for this. It's more or less the same, but I still like it. And it has the funny bit, looking for you, where are you? Couldn't have a show without you. I thought that was pretty good. But the other thing I enjoyed that made me laugh, and again, I'm sure this is at this point of the show has probably already been established, but there's the idea of Scooby snacks. And now in my mind, I just assumed that Scooby snacks were just, you know, dog treats that Shaggy had bought at some store somewhere. But no, when you look at the bag of Scooby snacks, they are literally branded with Scooby's face on the bag. So they literally are Scooby snacks.
That's like a staple of the show. Like, I when I was a kid, I wanted to eat Scooby snacks. Like, I don't think I'm alone.
Wasn't that a thing? It was like a candy.
I do remember in the 90s, I believe they came out,
right?
No, I don't think they were fruit snacks. They were like I don't think it was a cereal. It might have been a cereal, actually.
They were dog treats that they gave the children.
But yeah, I remember when I was a kid, I'm like, I want Scooby snacks so bad. It was like the original Krabby Patty or something.
Did they never make Krabby Patties as a real thing?
I don't think they. I mean, to me, the closest thing to a Krabby Patty is like an In-N-Out hamburger.
Smashburger or something.
But yeah, I don't think they ever came out with Krabby Patties. But it was like the idea of like some kind of like featured food.
Yeah.
Branded food that you want to try from a cartoon.
I wouldn't be surprised, because SpongeBob was huge, and it's still pretty popular. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if there was some event somewhere where there was some promotion for a limited time, get a Krabby Patty. You know, because that kind of thing happens all the time. Like, with Simpsons, for instance, I know that 7-Eleven would often, from time to time, do a thing where it's like, oh, come into the Quickie Mart and get your Simpsons-branded Slurpee. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
I mean, I feel like I would remember. I would have that. I feel like a Krabby Patty would have been on my radar.
No, Dave, I would have heard about the Krabby Patty. Okay, I've been wanting a Krabby Patty my whole life.
You don't know the struggle, what it's like. It's like seeing Studio Ghibli food. You know, it's like it's not fair.
Man.
But I'll give you this possibility is that maybe at like something like Universal Studios, Florida or something like that, that's associated with Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Like maybe they have a restaurant on site that, you know, is the Krusty Krab or something like that. They might have that.
I gotta imagine, well, because I think Universal Studios had a thing for the Simpsons World or Land area where you can go into a Quickie Mart. So I gotta imagine, again, SpongeBob was super popular. I gotta imagine they had something similar. But
it's interesting that we're now talking about SpongeBob.
Well, I was going to say, we're at that point of the podcast that we get to for a movie we hated where we invariably end up talking about another property so that we don't have to talk about the one that we're supposed to be talking about. And that's usually a good point to end.
Hey, folks, it's that time of the show where we're talking about other shows.
Other stuff we'd rather be watching.
Or eating.
Or eating in this case. Well, before we end, did you have any other thoughts or insights on the ghostly creep of the deep, the new Scooby-Doo movies?
So despite this episode being what it is, which is pretty bad, I'm still a fan of Scooby-Doo. I will defend it to my death.
Course down at the college, the philosophy of Scooby-Doo, right?
Right. We have we actually have three courses about Scooby-Doo. Yeah, there's beginners, intermediate, and advanced.
Is advanced the one where you come up with alternate plot lines to the episodes? Because if so, I took the test. I can get into the advanced course, Professor.
I actually think that our conversation has sparked a new idea for a class which is a creative writing course around Scooby-Doo.
All right. Well, awesome. All right. Well, so there's some new courses down at the community college in Citadel that you could check out, folks, if you're so inclined. The philosophy of Scooby-Doo, beginning, intermediate, advanced, and what was the
last
one?
Look forward to a new class being offered next semester.
Well, I got to say, unless someone out there, and I probably shouldn't even say this because I'm going to manifest it, but unless someone out there really wants us to watch more Scooby-Doo in the future for this show, like maybe there's a diehard Scooby-Doo fan out there. It's like, you guys just watched the wrong episodes, man. You should have watched season 5, episode 9 or something like that. That's where it really came together, dude.
Well, I will say that when we were talking about Scooby-Doo episodes, I had found an article that was, or I think one or two articles about the best Scooby-Doo episodes. And there were like a number of monster pictures that looked cool. Like there was this creepy clown episode that I'm kind of wanting to see.
Demonic. I think it was the intro of the last episode we watched where at one point it looks like they run afoul of like a giant android or something. I'm like, oh, that kind of looks interesting. But again, like unless there's a real need for it out in the wasteland, I doubt we will be returning to Scooby-Doo anytime soon. Like personally, there are other cartoons we've done for the show in the past that I would like to revisit more. Like G.I. Joe, for instance, is one that I would really like to revisit. I would even be willing to revisit the Wuzzles over Scooby-Doo because the Wuzzles had substance, damn it.
I'm kind of insulted because the Wuzzles is top tier.
The Wuzzles was saying something. It was talking about real issues, unlike Scooby-Doo, which is just farting around in a haunted forest eating Scooby snacks.
I'm just saying, where's the Wuzzle Scooby-Doo crossover? Because we watched a Wuzzles episode where that creature was seeing monsters, right? And we need an episode for a Scooby gang to unveil that.
We need someone. We need someone to gaslight one of the Wuzzles and tell him you're not seeing anything.
So I have one more question before we go.
Yeah.
For you, what is this? Is Scooby-Doo like your of all the Saturday morning apocalypse videos episodes we've done and cartoons? Is this your least favorite?
Yes. absolutely. And even more so than Street Sharks. If you recall, I did not
Sharks,
but Street Sharks at least has attitude. There were some crazy things going on in there that made me laugh. Street Sharks, we found it.
That's a hot take.
Thank you, Scooby-Doo. We found something that is worse than Street Sharks. It is Scooby-Doo, in my opinion. That's so just empty and nothing. At least Street Sharks was extreme. You know what I mean? Like Street Sharks.
At least they had a Vin Diesel commercial.
The muscles of Street Sharks are bulging. The veins are popping. I can't say anything like that for Scooby-Doo.
You know I'll give you that. The sharks are buff. I mean, but
they had better toys.
I don't even know what I'm saying. I like all of these shows.
Well, you're conceding the fact that Street Sharks is better than Scooby-Doo. It's more badass. It's got cooler toys. It looks cool. It's jacked. What if I were to pit any one of the Street Sharks against Shaggy, that lanky ass weirdo? Like, it would be no
Shaggy
contest.
Will smoke him out.
Shaggy be like, well, hold on a second, dude, before we get into this fight, should we maybe smoke some of this mean bluntage? and Shaggy would smoke him under the table, and the Street Sharks would be dead. In fact, the compounds inside the whatever Shaggy is smoking, mixed in with the Scooby snacks, would actually revert the Street Sharks back to their human form, and Shaggy would inadvertently cure the Street Sharks. See, I'm writing a whole new episode. My story.
It's your first draft for the creative writing course.
Creative writing class that we were talking about earlier.
You're going to eat crow when the Street Sharks are running for their lives when Shaggy and Scooby are in a log chasing them.
Oh, like the Street Sharks are all, oh my God, we're being chased by a swamp monster. Let's get out of here, guys.
Street Sharks rules.
Oh my God. Well, that was Scooby-Doo, folks, hopefully for the last time. Again, I want to, and I said this in the last episode, if you like Scooby-Doo, that's totally fine. I don't want to doo-doo all over your Scooby-Doo love. It just wasn't for me. I couldn't find anything here to grab onto, aside from the reveal of Lieutenant Pete Duggan, Harbor Patrol. That was great. That was legitimately funny. But otherwise, there's nothing for me to latch onto here. I personally do not want to revisit this. But if someone out there, we are beholden to the audience. So if someone out there has some Scooby-Doo episodes they would want us to watch in the future, hopefully the far-off future, we will totally be down to do it. You know what I mean? Like, we want to make you guys happy out there.
We definitely want to take a couple more cracks at some other Hanna-Barbera cartoons. Yeah. I know there's a couple that are on my radar, like the Herculoids. Yeah. That would be great and fun.
Thundar the Barbarian.
I have a lot of great memories of, I probably said this on the last episode, but like back in the day when these shows aired for me in the 90s, it was almost like you had to catch some of these by chance sometimes. And especially like Herculoids and I really loved, Space Ghost.
The original Space Ghost.
Yeah,
that,
the original
one. That was before
one.
He went coast to coast.
Right, before he became a talk show host, which would actually be funny to review too. That was kind of a magical thing, very nostalgic thing about the 90s. Like you didn't get to choose what you watched in some senses. Yes. Like it was just put in front of you. And if you had to get lucky sometimes. And, some of those Hanna-Barbera shows were so, strange and interesting, it would be great to revisit. So I hope you don't discount, Hanna-Barbera out of
this is not the first Hanna-Barbera joint we've done.
Was Godzilla Hanna-Barbera?
Godzilla was Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, okay.
Mistaken, and I enjoyed that a lot. It was cheesy fun.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, so, okay, cool. So you're not, it's, Hanna-Barbera's not totally ruined for
you.
No. That's good.
Like I said, I think Johnny Quest would be a fun one to do. That was certainly one. That seemed to be, speaking of Cartoon Network, that seemed to be a show that was on Cartoon Network all the time. That was one of those shows where it's like, whenever I was flipping through channels, it just always happened to be on. I never watched it, but I was like, is this just all Cartoon Network is Johnny Quest? Because it seems like, I can imagine that they must have had like 4-hour chunks of programming that was devoted to Johnny Quest.
Yeah, it was popular. But yeah, so I'm looking for, I hope we get to check out some more in the future.
For sure, yeah. All right, well, this is not the end of Saturday Morning Apocalypse, folks. It hopefully will be the end of us watching Scooby-Doo again. But like I said, if there are fans of Scooby-Doo out there who would like us to watch more, we will do it. But I will say that give us a little time. You know, we're not going to just jump right back into Scooby-Doo. We got to go, we got to, you know, see what else is out there before we come back and revisit anything. But Saturday Morning Apocalypse will return with a different cartoon. Thank God. Well, that'll do it for this episode, folks.
I'm Pete Duggan.
Harbor Patrol.
Well, if everyone's through seeing things, let's go see about that inn.
And hurry before the fog takes all the curl out of my hair.
Me too!